delay, the quicker I'll have to get through my presentation. I'm Brendan Ford from Provoke, and if you're a Twitter user, you can find me on Twitter, at Stuart Ireland. The name is actually where I'm from originally. I put two I's in there, so it's actually just one I. Can't even spell where I'm from. So today, really, I'm going to be ripping through what's new in Office 365 in the preview. So currently, at the moment, obviously, we've got our general run-of-the-mill 365, and for the people that have jumped onto the web, you can sign up for the preview build. And so really, I just want to take you through some of the changes that are in there. And ideally, I'm going to do this through a process of demonstration rather than death by PowerPoint, which I hope you guys are all okay with. Just to get things cranking, so can I see a show of hands who was using BPOS? Who used BPOS? Not too many people. Who's using Office 365? Okay, anybody running EMC? No, cool. So this is an EMC t-shirt that I got at another conference. I've just been trying to get rid of that for a while. Paul, that was for you. The arm was a bit strong. So if you can hand that over to someone that needs a t-shirt for painting, that would be awesome. That's often what TechEd t-shirts are used for, I discover. Cool. Hey, so really, this is today's agenda that I'm going to kick through. I've kind of really got sort of three things I really sort of want to, or three topics I want to get through. So I really want to take you through kind of the UI. And the reality is it's kind of same but different. So there's some things in there that you'll be pretty comfortable with if you're using 365 today. And then some new stuff in there that kind of makes life a bunch easier. Then the next thing I want to do is really sort of take you through a create and share information exercise. So a scenario based on what we can actually do sort of in a real life situation. And some of the new things in Office 365 and the preview that are actually going to make that creation and sharing of information easier, quicker, and I guess more productive. And then I want to rip out kind of half a dozen kind of things that I find interesting. Hopefully you'll find interesting at the end. So that's roughly what we're doing. Just to keep everybody on the ball, I've got a Bluetooth mouse so I need to give away. I've got a Vic t-shirt that I've... it's a vintage. It's from last TechEd. And then haven't worn it because it's a bit not right size for me. It's a small. And then we've got a couple of these remote control cars to give away. I'm really just sort of looking for good marks in the evals, just so we're clear and up front. So whoever wants to give me sort of top marks can obviously pick up the prizes. Pretty simple, really. Hey, so let's kick in and start off with same but different. So one really cool thing, we'll just jump over to that demo box. If you're familiar with Office 365 today and you go in to sign in, this is actually the page that you'll end up on. So for me, that's actually pretty cool because I remember the migration from BPOS to 365 took a little bit of time and was a bit delayed. And so at the end of the day, it's kind of encouraging that we're authenticating into the same infrastructure by the looks of things. So basically, I've just logged into the new dashboard, as it is called. And so we can see that in the new dashboard, there's actually a certain amount of familiarity. So we can see down the left-hand side, we've got some sort of main navigation that we use to get to things. We can see down the right-hand side, we've got some quick links around getting to resources, leveraging the community side of things. But in the middle, life has changed. So in the middle, we can see at a glance some things that are happening. So the engineering team at Microsoft, one of the key things that they've been focusing on with this new build of 365 is actually trying to get people the information they need to administer 365 and to support it in a more timely manner. So as we can see, the current health of 365 is front and centre, so you can get in there and have a glance at it, and you can see that most things are green. One of the other really kind of encouraging things is we get a quick view at planned maintenance, because I know with some of our customers in 365, the first question when something happens, is it something they've done? Is it their internet connection? Is it something happening in 365? Is it unplanned? Is it planned maintenance? And you actually spend a little bit of time, at least in your brain, going around in circles. So the idea with the new dashboard is to be able to get in and get rid of some of the basic questions straight away, which is pretty good. And then in addition to that, we've got sort of some some basic sort of service overview information at the moment. So if you've been doing a little bit of stuff with 365, hopefully you've been making use of the service request process, or as I like to think of it, free help. And so logging service requests to solve problems when you're not quite sure what the issue is. So once again, that's front and center, so that you can get to the jobs that you're doing quickly. And then we've got some summary information about inactive emails and bits and pieces. And once again, with the vein of getting things done quickly, so one click to jump down and view really the dashboard, the service health dashboard. Simply we can pull out and understand the, as we could before, the different items inside, you know, Exchange Online and what may or may not be up. So it's all looking pretty healthy there. I think I was looking at the other day and there were a couple of little blue question marks that we could drill into, but everything's looking pretty robust. And we can once again jump into planned maintenance. So as we can see from that, the goal is just to make your life a bit simpler, quicker and easier. Cool. So one of the other things that that I was actually pretty impressed with when I was looking through the demo and looking through some different content is this this concept of reports. So one of the things that often I find with Office 365 is actually understanding the nuances and the different things that are going on inside Office 365. And there's a bunch of different avenues that you can sort of go down to start to look at things. But often in the current version, and in BPOS it was even harder, in the current version you might jump into FOPI and start digging through that. So with the reporting section, we have an opportunity to start to get sort of a high-level overview of some of the things that are happening in Office 365 that might be of interest to us. So maybe new and deleted mailboxes, for example. And so basically some quick graphing to get that information through so that you can whip through and do some, you know, get some quick information together about what you're trying to achieve. And so inside that, there's a whole bunch of different different reports that you can jump into. What I tried pretty hard to populate some of these reports, and it's going to be interesting when my IT manager comes and talks to me, because yesterday or the day before I actually jumped onto some sites that would probably be considered risque, and I registered for a number of accounts under my Office 365 tenant, and so I was hoping that I'd actually see a few reports coming through talking about maybe where I was getting a certain amount of spam email or some email that may sort of violate the company's policy around email content. So either the system's working really well and accessing that email, or I went to the wrong sites and they're actually relatively reputable, inappropriate sites and don't spam me sort of unbiasedly. But once again, we can jump into these different groups of reports and start to get some information on what's happening. And when I was sort of ripping through and going through Office 365, one of the things that kind of grabbed my attention was DLP. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I haven't seen that before. And so basically that then drove me into, well, hey, so what does DLP look like in Office 365? Because that's kind of new. So let's actually whip into having a look at what some of the Exchange stuff looks like in 365 in the preview version. So just as we fire that through. So basically, for those that data loss prevention, for those that are not familiar with DLP, it's going to give us some tools around managing information in and out of our organisation. If we just jump down to that. And if you're familiar with the 365 current Exchange experience, you'll notice that this is actually a whole bunch easier to sort of jump around and get to. So here we are in the DLP side of things. And one of the cool things about it is it ships with a whole bunch of stuff out of the box around creating a policy. Let's make this relevant. That's a good name. And so we can just basically jump into here and pick the different policies that we may want to use and may want to sort of get up and going in our organisation. Today we can go and choose to enforce the policy, test the policy with notifications, test the policy without notifications. So we can try some things out before we actually deploy them into the organisation. So one easy thing to think about in this policy scenario is that maybe if you're in a financial organisation you'd rather people didn't send spreadsheets out with credit card numbers to people accidentally, or at least if they did, you're notified about it. Or maybe if you're in a government department today and you'd rather people didn't send out maybe patient history information or case information. And if they did, it would really be good so you could find out about it and go and have a chat to them about their behaviour. So the DLP side of things is obviously going to let you get a bit of a handle on that. One of the other things that I was actually a little bit amused about and sort of half excited about is that when I was looking at Exchange, is that I spotted public folders. Now, I sort of, BPOS, Office 365, public folders are gone. We're not interested in them. Here's some scenarios of how you might deal with public folders. Every customer we rocked up to, they're like, I've got public folders. And we'll go through a journey of talking to them about public folders and how they might be able to move that content into SharePoint, for example, et cetera, et cetera. But as we can see, public folders have now turned up. And so basically, when you want to create a public folder, you really just jump in here. You create a public folder mailbox, and then you jump back into public folders and you create a public folder, and then you can enable it for email and such like. If we just jump into one of these, into the detail, actually, if I just go back up, hopefully it doesn't crash on me like it did last time. If we jump into this public folder, we start to get a bit of a feel of some of the things that we can do with the public folder around statistics and such like. Now, it'll be interesting to see how well this works, and because it's kind of brand new into this part of the product. But like basically, you can go through here and attach email, additional aliases to it, and such like members, delivery options. So all the things that you'd kind of expect to see in public folders. Now, me personally, I don't know if it's the right decision to be using public folders. I haven't sort of played around with it enough, and I haven't looked at the scenarios. Just because you've done it in the past doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it in the future. And when we look at how public folders are surfaced inside inside Outlook, we can jump into folders, and basically we'll see these public folders coming up somewhere down here, ideally. Down the bottom, yep. So they'll be floating around there. Public folders, boom. Couldn't see for looking. So basically, we get that public folder experience in Outlook. Cool. So there's heaps of stuff to get through in the Exchange side of things. A lot of it is actually what was in 365. It's just kind of become a bit easier. Something that's not new, and I don't know whether it's a bug in the beta or not, but I went through and played with a mobile device policy, and they're very effective. So I spent half of last night actually trying to get my mobile device back to where it needed to be. So, just if you are going to play with the preview, just be aware that syncing your mobile device might give you some password enforcement policies that you don't want to enjoy. The next thing that I want to jump into is quickly having a look at. So we've got a whole bunch of quick sort of links up the top here to allow us to get to the things that we need to get to. I'm sitting in an admin view at the moment. We will have a look at what an end user experience will look like. But one of the things I want to jump into quickly is Sites, aka SharePoint. I've just jumped into, in effect, kind of my site. And one of the things that I really need to be able to do here for the next part of my demo is I just want to go through and set up a new site. And let's just call that Demo 15. You can see there's been a few practices. So it's just going to go away and provision a new site for me, so that hopefully we can have a bit of a play around with that as we go through. And what I'm going to do in this new site is I'm just going to go through and create a shared mailbox from SharePoint. So today in Office 365, creating shared mailboxes it's a blend of the Exchange experience and PowerShell. And so if you love PowerShell, obviously this is probably a little bit upsetting that you have to do it with the GUI, but to be honest, SharePoint in the new version is pretty enabled with PowerShell, so you probably can do it with PowerShell anyway. So what I've basically gone through there is I've just gone through and added a new app, which is the Site Mailbox app, which we kind of talk about apps in SharePoint 13 now. We get this link down here, which is it's going to go away and start provisioning my mailbox. And so here's the interesting thing that I experienced when I was doing this. I'm like, oh, cool, this is like mail-enabled lists in SharePoint. Life is going to be awesome. I'm going to be able to attach workflow to it, and I'm going to be able to do views over it, and life is going to be grand. Then I clicked on this and I started provisioning it, and what we actually see is that it's provisioning an actual mailbox in Exchange, and it's basically providing us with the OWA interface. And we can manage membership to that mailbox via SharePoint. So we can go and add members to the SharePoint site, which just means they'll get access to that shared mailbox. They can send, they'll have it sitting in Outlook. They can send email from it. We can see that basically we've got the account set up here, and we've now got our mailbox, a shared mailbox that we can all use. And I guess the cool thing about that is that it's bringing the collaboration scenario kind of together, where email and documents are kind of part of life. We'll just ignore that little flashing thing in the corner. Oh, no, we won't. I'm just running a little bit of Windows 8 as well, Office 13, so I am actually risking many things. Yeah, we're all sorted. Now, I'm ever the brander. Like, I'm a visual design expert, to be honest, and so I'll just quickly brand up my site. Let's see, where has my little thing gone? There. Anybody interested in the Veek t-shirt? No, you can keep that, Paul. I'd like to see you wearing it at the party on Thursday night, please. Boom. Cool. So I've invested a lot of money in this logo, it's a real explanation of the business that I'm currently running with Office 365 here. So basically what we've done there is we've provisioned a mailbox, a shared mailbox. The next thing that's interesting to look at, and whether it's actually propagated down or not, is that shared mailbox will now turn up in my Outlook. And so what we can actually see here at the moment is we've got a few of my other demo ones. It takes a little bit to sync down. But we can see that we've got demo 12, 13, and 14, and we can see that we've got an inbox. I can jump into the site and I'd see those similar sorts of things in there. But we'll actually be coming back to that in the next part of the demo. Cool. So one of the other key things that that the engineers were trying to achieve with this build was the concept of deep linking. In Office 365 today, to do some things, there's a whole bunch of steps. So, for example, assigning a user license, whereas the concept of deep linking is really surfacing the links that you need to get to as quickly as you can get to them to do your bits and bobs. And so we can see that with these drop-down menus, we've got deep linking and such like. So that's the quick view of the new dashboard and what it has to offer. And so hopefully you can see that it's not a monumental change from what you're used to with Office 365. The reality is it's just made things a bit tidier for you. Use the right keyboard. So for me, kind of a couple of key points are really getting the deep linking, knowing the information about the service to make sure it's that you've got a handle on what's happening, and the addition of public folders and the changes to shared mailboxes so that you don't need to be a PowerShell guru or a cut and paste guru. So the next thing I would like to take you through is the concept of creating and sharing information. So I was on my way to TechEd. That picture there, I think, is the picture of the guy that won a free ticket to TechEd. He just had to take a strange photo. So he obviously got his top off and wrote a sign saying, "Please send me to TechEd," and stood on the streets. So anyway, you're on your way to TechEd like that gentleman was. And his boss calls and says, "Hey, I need a certain something now." And so what I'd like to do is take you through the scenario of how Office 365 in preview makes that a bit easier. Oh, regional wines. Cool. Go away. So if we just quickly sign out of that account. I'll just sign in as my boss. signing up with different users. His name's Rob Young, smart guy, very dynamic leader. So Rob's a pretty good guy. He's just logged into his Office 365. He's a man on the move, and basically he's just going to flick me an email with some great news about an opportunity that he's got for me. And I think we all know opportunity is code for problem. And I've got a pre-canned email hopefully here. And so basically he's going to flick an email through to me, ideally as soon as that comes up, saying basically, hey, here goes some stuff. Could you work on it? And don't bother coming back from TechEd if we don't win the business. Oh, nice. It always works better when you're by yourself. Cool. Continue editing. Send. So cool, he's got a bit of a PowerPoint attached there. Like, in his opinion, he's done all the work for me. And really, I just need to kind of proof it, and life will be good. So Rob sent that. We can see that we've got our baked-in presents, or sort of Rob's, I don't know where he picked that picture of the dog from. Very cute dog, though. Very cute dog. So we'll just log out, and then we'll jump back in as me. Oh, I've got an email from Rob. I had to send that email to make this demonstration authentic. Otherwise, potentially people wouldn't have believed that I'd sent email. Cool. I did talk to Wayne moments ago about how we could get rid of my work email coming through, and Wayne actually promised not to send me inappropriate emails during this presentation, which I trust he'll stick to. Cool. Hey, the demo site that I set up hasn't actually come through, but fortunately I've got demo 14, which is just as good as demo 15, but slightly pre-canned. So Rob's flicked this email through to me, and it's landed in my inbox. What I actually want to do now is drag that into that shared mailbox. And so I've dragged that in there, and we can see that I've got an old intro email from before. That's pretty cool. And what I want to do also is drag the actual PowerPoint into this thing called the Documents folder. And so I jump into there, and we can see that that PowerPoint is as an attachment is ripped out and into that Documents folder. Now what I'll do is I'll jump into the SharePoint side of things. Cool. Jump into demo site 14. So, hopefully what we're going to see is that we've got Rob's email sitting in here. Hopefully. The interweb is running fast today. Excuse me while I just flick around. Just while that's firing up, we'll just jump over here. And we'll do the, because I respect Rob, and he's a consummate professional, I'm just going to flick Rob a quick email. I'm just going to flick Rob a quick email to say, hey, cheers for the opportunity. I'll get right on to that, boss. And I'll get back to you as soon as possible. And as part of that, and I'm going to basically send that also CC in the that shared mailbox as well. And so if we think about a teamwork scenario, there might be a bunch of people that are, you know, sitting in the site working on that, working on the site together, and all have access to the shed mailbox. So straight away they can see that, hey, there's this opportunity from Rob Young, and we can see that I've responded to Rob, CC'd it in. So everybody's on the same page, which is a great start. Then the next thing that that ideally people will do is they'll jump into the documents section, and we can see that that document that I dragged and dropped in there is now sitting inside the SharePoint document library. And so before, when I was talking about mail-enabled lists, I was like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to be able to set up views and workflows and classify and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, no, I can't. Well, actually, I can, because now we've got a mailbox, which is doing things well, which is mail, working in tandem with a document library. So in some respects, we've actually got the best of both worlds, which I think is pretty good. So let's just have a quick look at the great work that Rob's done for us. And so we're just going to jump into web apps, which is the same kind of web app experience that we've seen in the past. And we can see that Rob has actually just shipped me a template that actually has nothing of value in it whatsoever. So really, Rob just wants me to start from scratch and actually pull everything together. So probably the best way for me to actually do that is to go and get some collateral that should be floating around the business. And so we know that we sell some products. So we'll just quickly do a product search. And so we can see now with the search in SharePoint 13 and Office 365, we see some great fidelity around the search functionality coming into 365. So what we can see is some great refiners down the side. We can see kind of in-search preview. We can start to do things with this PowerPoint, you know, straight away and get a feel for whether it's the right thing. I can follow it so that if anybody changes that PowerPoint in the future, I'm going to get notified about it. I can send it to some different places. It'll be interesting to see what happens there with the laggy internet that I have at the moment. Let me just get down to that again. I can send it to some different places. So I'm like, well, this is exactly the content that I want. What I actually want to do is just make some quick tweaks to it. And so we'll just wait for that to come down. So basically, I want to make a couple of quick tweaks to this PowerPoint, and then I want to push it back up into SharePoint Online so that other people can get it. And then also, what I want to do is get it back to Rob. Now, Rob's actually, as with all good managers, he's about to head away on holiday, so he's probably going to be on the road. So the other thing that I want to be able to do is I want to be able to secure it. So what I'm going to take you through is the addition of RMS, or Rights Management Server, Information Rights Management, into SharePoint Online. So ideally I can browse. So I'm just going to take it out of that that current site where it is and drop it into my Demo 14 site. What I'm actually going to do is just quickly save that on my desktop. And we'll just jump around a little bit and get back to where we need to be. There's always more than one way to skin a cat in SharePoint. So I'm basically just going to quickly grab that file, upload it into there. Boom. Cool. So I've got this. I've got this file in here. I've made my appropriate changes. This is some product information for our business, so it's actually relatively confidential. And so the question before is, how do we deal with this confidential information? Like, the reality is, you know, conceptually the cloud's out there sitting in the world, and if someone got, you know, anybody can download it from anywhere and put it anywhere. It's extremely liberating, but also there's a little bit of risk with that. So one of the new additions to SharePoint Online is the concept of rights management. And so what I can actually do is jump into this document library, and I can apply rights management to this document library. So basically, rights management meaning that when someone grabs the document, takes it out of SharePoint, it basically takes the security of that document. So if we think about it as a house, so today SharePoint is the house. You get through the front door, and give or take, you have access to everything in the house, unless there's another door with another key on it. With rights management, what we're basically doing is you go into the cupboard. There's a box of chocolates in the cupboard. You actually need to have a key to that box of chocolates in the cupboard. So we can have a look at some other options in here. So we can go and classify this doc. So anything that goes into this document library will get this policy. So we can say, hey, don't put anything in here that doesn't have IRM on it, that someone would have initiated from the client. Or we can say, hey, stop restricting access in 14 days' time, for example, when we know that the bid is done and dusted, and it would be great for other people in the organisation to come and see some of my superb work. We can do things like limit people and say, hey, you can print this, because by default you can't, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we apply this policy to this document library, and now everything that goes into this document library is going to get that policy attached to it. So now, if I just to demonstrate why this is kind of cool, I'm just going to quickly download a copy of that. Cool. So I've downloaded. Oh, I grabbed the wrong presentation. Yeah, we'll run with this one. So I've downloaded a copy of my very sensitive presentation, which is the one that he sent. And we can see at the top here we've got Demo 14, which is our rights management applied. So the next thing that I need to do is I need to get this great work over to Rob. And Rob's on the road. So I'm just going to flick that out to him. Boom. Just going to flick that through to Rob Y. Oh, that's an interesting mail tip. Did anybody spot that mail tip? Did anybody see what the mail tip said? Anybody? Anybody? There's a mouse in it for you. Who was that, sorry? Yeah, boom. So I actually have just sent my extremely confidential PowerPoint deck with all my product information to somebody outside my organisation. And more insult to injury, because I like my Microsoft stack, I actually I sent it to a Gmail account. And so now Gmail is busy indexing my content, which is... that's kind of concerning. And at the end of the day, that little gem inside Outlook that says recall the email, that's never really worked for me very well. And it certainly hasn't worked for me when it's gone to an external piece of content. And so old Rob Young, he's a different Rob Young. He's not my... that's interesting. Rob Young's not my boss. He's a different Rob Young in a different company that I actually know. He's a good buddy, and we're fierce competitors. And I just emailed him my whole presentation. And so because I've applied rights management to it, I took it out of my organisation, I attached it to email, I shot it over to him, and he can't do anything with it because he's not an authenticated user in rights management. So now, actually, willy-nilly, I can share content and I can ignore those mail tips, although I wouldn't recommend that, and send stuff around as long as I'm protecting it in the right way. And one of the great things about this solution is by just dropping a document into a rights management document library, it gets the policy applied. There was no sort of process of me mentally having to think, oh, this is pretty confidential, I better go and apply that policy to it myself. So it's a pretty layman's version of it. And in addition to this, I could have downloaded that and saved it on a local PC or dropped it onto a USB drive and then accidentally lost that USB drive on the way back from TechEd, for example. I found a USB drive from a competitor one time on the roundabout when I was coming back from TechEd. So basically what we've achieved there is that we've created some new content. We've shared the content, worked on it, and now we've also secured and protected that content outside of our organisation, which I think is pretty cool. If we just jump back into here. And so some of the interesting things about RMS and some of the features for RMS is that all the RMS infrastructure sits in Office 365, so it's AD RMS in Azure. when you provision your Office 365 preview tenant. There's a real simple blog post on how to go through and enable RMS inside that tenant today. It's actually a little bit of PowerShell that you need to do to actually enable it. What they're talking about is it being a click of the button in the future. The other things that one needs to do is one needs to jump into kind of the SharePoint management side of things and just jump down into the settings and just say that you want to turn RMS on. So, well, information rights management, RMS information rights management. So you want to say, I want to use IRM. And then you have it accessible in your tenant. The next really interesting thing or scenario is that if there are other Office 365 users that are on the preview, you can RMS some content with them, put their email address on it, and send it to them. It will then authenticate and validate them as a user inside their Office 365 tenant, and therefore they will be able to see your content. So if you are in a situation where you've got a bunch of external contractors that are working with you or for you, you can basically manage your content inside your organisation. You can set the policy that you want to set to it. You can do things like expire the content after a day, after 2 days. You can send it through to them on an email. It'll authenticate against their RMS infrastructure, and then they'll be able to access the content. So now you can actually do secure collaboration across organisations without having to go through and set up all the existing RMS infrastructure that we have to do today on premise. There are a couple of little gotchas around RMS. Once it's RMS, unless you un-RMS it. So if you were to deploy Office 365, put everything in there, RMS everything up the wazoo, and then you're like, you know, I think not so interested in that anymore, and you take everything down, the reality is you take it out of SharePoint, it is RMS'd. So you would have to go through a process of removing that RMS. And so because it's got certificates, so you can set up RMS on your own infrastructure, but you'd need to go through a process of sorting that out. Just quickly, what does RMS look like inside other things like email? So we can set permissions on it. So we can see some RMS kind of stuff coming through here. Basically, once I enabled my RMS, it sucked all this information down from my cloud infrastructure, so I can manage and control those policies in the cloud. If I just fire up a bit of Word. So once again, I can go through here. I'll just demonstrate connecting and getting that content, because obviously I haven't done it on this laptop. So it's just basically going to go through and suck down the policies onto this laptop so that I can start using those policies. Cool. So that, in theory, is creating and sharing a chunk of content. It's taking us through a bit of search stuff. That's looking like it's hanging around and doing its thing for a bit. Cool. Wrong laptop. So that's really sort of taken us through a quick and easy approach to creating and sharing content. You know, that concept of being able to drag and drop items in Outlook into a document library and into an email folder, it's really simplistic, but it's actually really powerful, and it's been something that's been bugging me for a long time. You know, I didn't necessarily enjoy my time with SharePoint workspaces, so this seems to be like a really easy way for me to make sure when I'm dealing with email assets, they actually really need to be managed in a SharePoint world. It's a pretty good way to get that. And if I drag it into that document library, it's not a big stretch to say, now move that with workflow to where it needs to be. I can secure my content. So that bit.ly link will take you to the blog post that talks you through how to do it. Like, to be honest, it's maybe a 10-minute job, if that. You just need to download a few extra tools. And the other key thing that we've been able to do and demonstrate is the fact that we can do stuff online and we can do stuff in Outlook. And so we're living and working where we want to live and work. So, just so we don't get all the prizes towards the end, I've got a car I need to give away, BMW. What's a good question? What's one of the cool things that? Well, what's one of the cool things I mentioned that I think is cool in the new dashboard? What's a productivity thing? Yeah, health status. Boom. I would like to congratulate you, and this will be pretty healthy. It's only a remote control car, hard to crash and die.
Thank you.
Cool. So the next thing I want to do is kind of quickly whip through sort of half a dozen things that that I think are advantageous with the new build. And what I'll try and do is jump into Office 365 and quickly show you what they look like. It'll be a little bit of whirlwind tour as I rip through my time. And I'm from Stewart Island, obviously, so Bluff is fairly close. No, I don't mind the oysters, so that was my tie to get there. So one of the big things that I think is cool and it's going to make a fair bit of a difference to our lives is the concept of apps. So when Microsoft were going through the engineering exercise, supposedly of redoing SharePoint, in their conversations, one of the things that they sort of got feedback on is they talked to a bunch of people, and people were like, you know, why is there this document library thing? What's this list thing? It's just it's kind of an app. It's sort of just, you know, why are they different and rah rah. So they really got to the situation with, at the end of the day, kind of let's just make everything an app. So a document library is now an app. A list is now an app. So you can go through and do bits and pieces and install new apps. And so obviously you get a chunk of the stuff that sits in SharePoint by default, but we now have the SharePoint store. And so the SharePoint store allows us to jump in and get apps that are both paid and free and deploy them into our tenant. So I can come through here and pick whatever app I want. I found the Facebook one the other day and I started installing that and having a bit of a play with that. And I had some challenges there. There might be some new learnings there. We've got Nintex, which is a product that Provoke resells. So I think one of the great things about apps is now all of a sudden, much like what we've seen with the iDevices, is for a pretty cost-effective rate, you can get some easy wins, and you don't need to go and reinvent the wheel yourself all the time. I think one of the other really interesting things here for New Zealand businesses is the concept of building our own apps. So if you are an insurance company, for example, and you want to target the business market that's running SharePoint or Office 365, maybe you could build an app that would allow them to get competitive quotes on stuff and those sorts of things and put it up in the marketplace. If you're a small startup in New Zealand, like we know that SharePoint was the fastest product to sell, you know, a billion seats. So the reality is you could build an app and publish it up into the SharePoint marketplace or the Office marketplace or, for that matter, obviously the Windows marketplace. So I think apps is a pretty cool concept. I think it'll allow us to make some money as businesses in New Zealand. I think it'll allow us to do some stuff quicker. And also it's going to give us a pretty sweet deployment scenario for our own functionality. You know, how do we get our own bits and bobs up and going? Because in the past there's been some limitations in Office. Office 365 was really about sandbox solutions and those sorts of things, or building some stuff out in Azure and surfacing it through into Office 365, which is effective, but it's a bit more lifting. One of the other things that I just want to sort of quickly jump into is basically project sites. You know, so project sites has been there's been some heavy lifting in 365 around project sites. Around project sites and making them more effective, that recovery time is something special. Like, to be honest, that didn't happen. That was never that quick before. So this is basically a project site that I've set up. And what we can see is that we've got this timeline sitting in here. We can go and create tasks and such like, and they'll turn up in that timeline. So now, out of the box, you can just create a project site template and you get a chunk of the project server functionality, which is... So once again, we know that a lot of businesses... run projects. So this is just yet another tool that makes things easier and allows you to start to visualise where you are at on your timeline for your project. And one of the other things that's kind of super cool along with projects is with a project there are tasks as a rule of thumb. Unless you're the guy that, you know, continuously delegates, and then you just delegate your task to delegate. And so what we see in the My Tasks section of SharePoint Online is it's rolling up all the tasks through throughout the organisation that are assigned to me in all the different site collections. So I go into my one place and it rolls all my tasks up. And one of the super cool things about this as well is that it'll also roll up tasks out of Exchange. So if you've got tasks sitting in your Exchange, it'll roll those up into that central view. So all of a sudden you can come into your one place, kind of out of the box, to start getting your to-do list. Now, that ability will also be available on-premise, but it's going to require a little bit of more infrastructure around it's kind of intermediate server that or service that does that, and also it's an Exchange 13 kind of thing. So I think those tasks things, once again, it's small, but it's big. You know, all of a sudden we can get these project sites up and going and start working on tasks and lists and such like that we need to do. So the other thing that I've already covered off is that sharing of information, being able to share information and in a secure and timely manner. Now, I think that we can potentially make a whole bunch of people feel a bit easier about life if they know that they can secure bits and bobs and make sure that they don't get information leakage, because that's one of the strengths and the weaknesses of the cloud is that you can get your information potentially anywhere, anytime, and you can leave it anywhere, anytime. One of the other things that that I quite liked in the new release and back to the dashboard side of things and, you know, making life easier for an administrator is, let's actually not do that with that guy. Got to do another presentation later in the week. Is that I can go through here, I can click three different users, and I can bulk edit stuff. Now, it's a real simple concept, but the reality is if you all of a sudden need to move a whole bunch of people from one place to an island paradise or a tropical rainforest, as my father explains to me, you can simply come in here and do bulk edits and basically update that stuff. So once again, it's about making, and we get some choices around what we're doing with licensing, so it's pretty cool the way that we go through and do the bulk edit and update all that content in one place. So we know that stuff changes in organisations, and so once again, that's a common task that Microsoft saw happening time and time again around those sorts of things. So, and the other item that I had on my favourites list was just around the security side of things. So RMS, data loss prevention, and the reporting. So with reporting, we can see that something's happening. With data loss prevention, we can be notified about it happening in real time, and we can potentially automatically stop it from happening. And with RMS, we can future protect ourselves around that side of things. So it is just making the cloud more secure by default. Just quickly on some other stuff, we've got this concept of SkyDrive or SkyDrive Pro that sits in online, and that really sort of jumps you into our SharePoint site. There's another interesting thing around managing the external access for these sorts of people if you jump into the site collection administration side of things once that comes back. We can go in here and say, hey, this site collection here, let's have a look at what my sharing options are. So we can say don't allow, make sure that people authenticate or allow anonymous and guests. I've gone through and tried the authenticating with live IDs. That's all working really well in this version. And obviously other Office 365 people or users authenticating against their instance, and kind of that idea RMS side of things also works pretty well. So that's my whirlwind tour of Office 365. At the end of the day, I could probably spend a whole bunch more time delving into different features. But I probably need to give away another prize. So any questions for a prize? There's no such thing as stupid questions. It's just a challenge for me to answer them or defer them. Yes? Good question. I don't know the answer to that. My feeling is at the moment the answer is no, because actually in fact that the reporting section has actually been turning up kind of feels like every day there's something new in there and sort of data coming through. So it does feel like they're still changing that reporting side of things, and the the health desk sort of thing looks pretty locked down, because it is focusing on surfacing the core tasks for that administrator, the things that they believe, that Microsoft believes administrators do every day. And I certainly know from my personal experience, you know, understanding whether things are up or down, understanding if there's maintenance is pretty important to me along those sorts of things. And I do have a Veek t-shirt that I would like to get rid of. Don't make me keep it. Russell. You don't want that, do you?
Yeah, I'll paint it.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, it's gonna be like a muscle top for you, bro.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Send a photo. So it's pretty tight. It's pretty small. Anyway, sorry, back to BPOS. Yes?
Migration, obviously, to the new Office 365, is that going to be seamless?
So the question was, Russell, thank you for asking, the journey from BPOS to Office 365 was a little slow and had some challenges. I think that feeling was certainly extremely well felt inside Microsoft. There weren't too many people that I talked to inside Microsoft that didn't acknowledge that that wasn't ideal. So with basically where they are sitting today, the message from the BPOS to 365 migration is we'll do it better next time because we're getting it right this time. And the amount of pain that they went through and the amount of delays that they went through, part of the delays were actually making sure that it was better for the future migration. So the encouraging thing is the fact that the authentication hasn't changed. The encouraging things are that, you know, the all-up billing side of things hasn't changed. So it certainly looks like it's going to be a far more timely and pleasurable experience. There's been some inclinations that some of the stuff that is going to be in the release is kind of already sort of going in the background as well. I think they're sort of slowly sort of dropping things in as they need to be. I think one of the interesting things that we're going to see over time is, my personal opinion, is that Office 365 will have features before the on-premise version does. I believe that Microsoft will innovate faster into the cloud than what they'll be able to innovate into on-premise solutions. And that's got a lot to do with the fact that they control all the infrastructure. So, you know, when they ship out a service pack for SharePoint, the reality is, they're going to have this massive infrastructure that they'll be able to test that service pack on themselves before they have to go through all the nuances of a customer. So I don't think there'll be as much of a time lag with this upgrade to 365. I certainly haven't been told anything, even under NDA, that I'd get in trouble for sharing, that, hey, it's any dates that it's going to happen. But you've got to imagine that it's going to ship around the same time that SharePoint 13 or /15 ships. And it should be timely because of all the flack that they got last time. Was pretty painful. So half answers your question. Confidence is high. Yes? Yeah, definitely. So go to office.com/preview. And so at office.com, you can download, obviously, the Office client bits and bobs. And also on the right-hand menu, as you go down, there's a link that refers to IT Pros. So you can go through, spin that up. You'll get 25 seats. You can get a full functioning email system. You can go through, cut your domain over to it, and start using it for free for probably what will be, you know, at least 6 months, I would imagine. Yep. Any other questions? No. Okay. Well, hey, I've got a couple of other slides that I just need to pull through because I've really only scratched the surface of content that you can get into here. So these are today's other sessions. So right up next after me is the top 10 hidden gems. Then Wayne down the front here is doing some superb presentations on SharePoint 13, where he'll jump into some more detail. And then we've got the app model and such like tomorrow. We've got a whole bunch of other content. I'd strongly recommend the SharePoint 13 development in Azure session. I've seen some of that content already, and it's actually looking pretty fun. So there's certainly a whole bunch of different content that you can get along to at TechEd. The reality is, you learn about the on-premise, it's going to be informative for the cloud as well. So once again, thank you very much for coming along and sharing with me today. Hopefully you learned something out of it. Please ensure that you fill out eval forms, because you win prizes. And us lowly speakers don't get better without without constructive feedback. So thank you very much for coming along, and I hope you enjoy the rest of TechEd.